What a joy to be able to wish to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ on this Christmas day. You see that the title for this sermon leaves a lot open. Christmas according to. Well, one of the answers is not Meggers, okay? It's not Christmas according to Meggers, but I do have the joy of being able to share with you Christmas according to my favorite, at least at this season in my life and in my ministry, my favorite Christmas story. But before we get to that, I want to also share with you that we're going to talk a little bit this morning about Christmas according to three other Christmas types of stories. And as a disclaimer, I want you to know how many of you, and this is not to grade you on your church attendance, okay? Not doing that. How many of you were present yesterday for any of our Christmas Eve services? How many of you were? Okay, so here's the deal. Pastor Seidler and I, we do not collaborate on our ideas for sermons. That being said, you're going to hear from the Grinch, you're going to hear from Elf, and you're going to hear from Charlie Brown this morning, all right? But the first one I want to take you on a journey to is Christmas according to the Grinch. So I want you to use your mind's eye this morning, the theater of your mind. Anybody seen the movie or the TV show, The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas? All right, so you're going to have to work this a little bit, and I'll help the rest of you. The Grinch lives on Mount Crumpet, and from Mount Crumpet, he can see down into Whoville, and the Grinch has an axe to grind against the Whos in Whoville because they are happy and they are joyful at Christmas time, and he is a Grinch. And he's got a problem. And the problem is that his heart is too small. And he has a goal. He has a desire. He's going to steal Christmas. He's going to rob the Grinches of all of their joy at this particular time of year. And yet when he carries out his nefarious plan, and he's about to dump the whole sled full of goods that he has stolen, he's awaiting the sound of moaning and crying from the valley below. But that's not what happens. From below, he hears the voice of singing, the voice of joy. And Dr. Seuss writes it this way. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled. And he puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas? Perhaps means a little bit more. I'll leave that in your mind's eye and turn you now to another Christmas movie that has become almost a classic in the last few years. It's the movie Elf. The major character is Buddy the Elf. How many of you have seen Elf? A goodly number of you. Then you know the answer to the question, right? Four major food groups. We shared it yesterday. Do you remember what they are? For elves, four major food groups are candy, candy canes, candy corns, and?
Syrup.
Because syrup is made with sugar. And elves love sugar. Now, Christian, if it were I as Elf, it would be chocolate. So I'm with you on that one, all right? I will go with you on that one. But Buddy the Elf, basically the story is he gets somehow caught up in Santa's bag from an orphanage. He ends up at the North Pole. Santa hands him off to another elf. Buddy learns a lot about the sleigh. He learns a lot about the ways of elves. And one of the things that Buddy learns also is that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And he goes on a quest for his father in the big city of New York. And New York has a problem. New York has sort of fallen out of love with Christmas. And because there's not enough Christmas cheer, apparently Santa's sleigh can't fly like it used to. And Buddy Elf becomes part of saving Christmas on that particular occasion. Buddy's job is spreading cheer. The Grinch's problem is a problem of the heart. Which brings us to my third Christmas according to, and that is Christmas according to Charlie Brown and the characters of Peanuts. It's a favorite Christmas story of mine. I'll get to the reason why it's a favorite Christmas story of mine. But if you remember the case, Charlie Brown feels especially misfit at Christmas. I mean, he would be welcome in another Christmas story, Rudolph, on the island of misfit toys. He just feels so out of touch, out of place with all of his friends who seem to know exactly what the Christmas spirit is all about. Ho, 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 and deck them halls and fa-la-la-la-la and all that stuff. And Charlie Brown goes about a quest of trying to discover what is it that Christmas is all about. And he takes on the tremendous task of directing the Christmas play. And he can't get the kids to cooperate because they're too busy fa-la-la-la-ing and ho-ho-ho-ing and all that kind of stuff. And finally, in desperation, he cries out, "Can anybody help me? Isn't there anyone out there who can tell me what Christmas is all about?" And Linus steps onto the stage, and the spotlight shines on him. He says, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you. Lights, please." And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came down upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." And Linus drops his blanket. "For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men." "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown," says Linus. Which brings me to my fourth Christmas according to. Christmas according to John. Christmas according to John, the words that we read together, the word became flesh to dwell among us. As I said earlier, in this season of my life has become my favorite Christmas story. Maybe because it just cuts through everything and gets right to the point. That the very word of God, the word that was in the beginning with God, the word that did the creative power of God, the word that you heard was at work in Hebrews this morning. By that breath of God, the stars come forward. By that breath of God, life is breathed into man. That word of God becomes human flesh and blood. And he dwells among us. He makes his life among us for a time, maybe some 33 years. Until such a time that flesh, that real wrapping of Jesus, is brutalized, is killed on a cross. And yet we celebrate because we know, perhaps what the world does not, those two little words, "for us." For us, God does this thing of sending the Word to become flesh and to make his dwelling among us. The Grinch found out that you can't keep Christmas from coming because it has already come. It will come without ribbons, without tags. It will come without boxes, packages, or bags. Whether you've thunk it just now or you've thunk it before, it comes because Christmas means
a whole lot more. It means a change of heart. That's what Christmas does. It changes hearts. If the Grinch's heart grew from being too small to being some three sizes that day, the true meaning of Christmas comes through and strengthens our heart, because it's not only into the world that God chooses to dwell and be born in a manger, but he chooses to take up these hearts as the residence for his Holy Spirit. True meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown, that God became flesh for us. For Buddy, hooray for cheer. Hooray for Christmas cheer. But Buddy leaves us a little bit short in that we're left a little bit uncertain about what it is that we should be cheering for when it comes to Christmas. And John has the answer. John has the answer that does not merely save Christmas for one movie's sake, but saves Christmas for all time as the foundation for our Christmas, that God so loved the whole world. That even though all have sinned and fall short, all have sinned and fall short of the very glory of God, and though we might be called a motley crew of misfits, I referenced the Sidewalk Prophet song, there is no one who is unwelcome here. All are welcome to come to God, as John tells us what it is that we have to cheer about at Christmas. Cheer for the one who came among us to dwell for a time. Cheer for the one who stays on the cross and won't come down. Cheer for the one who rises from the dead. Cheer for the one whose first step toward that Easter victory is to step into the womb of a virgin, to emerge in a manger in a little town of Bethlehem of Judea, just as it had been foretold. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And those of you who are not Charlie Brown, I love the story of John. I love blending it together with the story of Charlie Brown and that Christmas gospel. I love Charlie Brown because it's easy to identify with Charlie Brown. There's a certain rite of passage that is wrapped up in that story of Charlie Brown's Christmas. Maybe it happened for you. You remember the times when you would come forward in your churches, and you'd be those small children standing on the steps, and you'd have your piece that you had to learn for Christmas, and you'd practice it, and you'd practice it, and you'd say it together, and you'd sing a song, you'd sing Away in a Manger. And as you got older, you took more of a leadership role in that Christmas program, that Christmas service, until finally you left eighth grade. And then you sat in the balcony, or you sat with your parents in those high school years, and you wondered, what happened to my Christmas? How do I find what Christmas is all about? Well, it's fun to hear the kids singing and so forth, but it seemed to mean so much more when I was a part of that. The good news for Charlie Brown is that good news that Linus speaks unto us is born that day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The good news is certainly proclaimed by children, but that's not where it rests. It's not where it lies. It's not where it originates. It originates in that action by which the Word of God became flesh to dwell among us. And it is good news for all of us, to the thief, to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young, to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last, all the first, all the paupers, all the princes, all who fail, you've been forgiven, all who dream, all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained, all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost, you've been found, for that is what Christmas is all about, for all the Charlie Browns, for all. Let it swell your heart. Sing it for all to hear. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Word who became flesh came to dwell among us. Come to the table. Come, join the sinners who have been redeemed. In the name of Jesus, may the peace of God and Christmas that surpasses all our understanding guard and keep your hearts, your minds, through faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting.